Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we have been talking about some of the challenges to learning how to move in the supernatural gifts. And one of the things that I want to remind you is that as you are learning how the gifts work and getting your training, one of the really neat things that will happen is you will start to be able to identify the moving of God in your life that's been going on without you even being able to say, this is what's going on. You will look back at some of your experiences and some of the ways God has talked to you, and you will see him moving. And this is, we've talked about identifying what God is interested in teaching you. Well, this is a good indicator of what it is that he wants to be teaching you, is what is he doing now? What has he done in your past? This is part of our understanding that even if we're not aware of it, our spirit is. The joining of your consciousness, your soulical consciousness, to your spiritual being brings that awareness from the spirit into your present awareness. As you see what God has done in the past, what he's doing in your present, you begin to have the confidence for your future. That even without your awareness and even without your cooperation, he has been training you. He has been equipping you. He has been healing you. He has been leading and guiding and encouraging. And yes, challenging and correcting and directing. His goal, though, is that we join him with that awareness. He wants to be wanted. Doesn't everybody? Now, your spirit has already fully committed and become one with God. Your spirit is one with God's spirit. So you never feel like you're letting him down, like you've missed him, like he's going to punish you or reject you or hold something against you. In your spirit, you have already fulfilled your end of the relationship. You're one with him. Why we are not experiencing that peace, that joy, that comfort from knowing and experiencing oneness with God is because our soul is not yet free. Our mind is not free. It's your our soul, our will is not free. Our emotions are not free. We believe lies. We have wounds. We want to maintain control. And those things, our enemies, are still keeping us from being joined to our spirit, which is what will bring that peace and that rest and that comfort. Now, when Jesus was here on this earth, he experienced that peace and joy and comfort at all times. That oneness with his Father. That certainly didn't mean his life was all a bed of roses. So we want to separate those two tracks. On the one hand, we understand that we need to overcome our enemies in order to enter into the fullness of what is available now, the full peace that passes understanding, eternal life in our soul now. But we don't want to confuse that with the challenges that we are assigned as part of our training here on this earth. You may receive a healing in an area of your life that you've been struggling with. And then the very next day may have a challenge in your circumstances in that very area. The two are not related. And this is one of our challenges to distinguish between what God is doing to bring our soul into unity with our spirit, what God is doing with us uniquely to bring us into oneness, and separate that from our training. Now, he uses our training to expose our wounds, to show us where our beliefs fail. But each has their own value. He can train you in an area in which you have absolutely no wounds or misbeliefs, where you understand perfectly what he is doing. And at the same time be dealing with deep wounds, lies that you're believing, and touching areas where you are struggling to maintain control. Bottom line, just because things are going well in your life doesn't mean he's not wanting to heal your wounds. Doesn't mean he's okay with you holding on to your own control in areas. Doesn't mean that everything you believe is correct. Likewise, things can be absolutely terrible in your life. Things may be falling apart all around your ears. You may be depressed. You may be everybody angry at you. Terrible, you may be making bad decisions. And God may be healing you left and right, breaking you free from strongholds, misbeliefs, pouring in that peace, that comfort, that encouragement. They're two different things. As we approach God it always comes back to, Lord, what is going on in this situation? What do you want me to know? What do you say? What is your truth? And though we start out with yes and no questions, we don't want to think that we're going to stay there. In the scriptures, there's the examples of the different temples that were built and all the instruments of worship in the Old Testament under David and Moses and others, and Noah building the ark, being given very specific dimensions and times and seasons and words and visions and dreams, some very specific. Now, if those were Old Testament, how much more should you and I expect clear and specific and detailed information from God when necessary? So we start where we're at, but we don't expect to stay there. We let him raise our expectations. Now, what he's dealing with you about may not even be clear to you. That's fine. Be patient. Patient with him, patient with yourself. What I would encourage you to do is write out what it is you're going through, what you think you're hearing from him, what you think you're hearing from yourself, what you think it might be. Get it all out of you so you're not trying to remember or think or understand. Very often that in and of itself, our trying to figure things out, is an attempt to control God. Trying to maintain control over our circumstances, apart from dependence on God. So when you write things down, when you write it out, any questions you might have, any concerns, you get them out of you. As you do that, you leave more room for God to speak clearly. When you're trying to work things out, and when we feel pressure to explain and interpret and connect the dots, our soul is preoccupied with busy work. When we say we've done enough, we've got it all out, we've done our part, that gives God room, space, opportunity to speak clearly into your life in whatever way he chooses. Now, he will do that one way or another. Very often, though, we don't hear him as clearly as we'd like to. And this is one of those techniques that simply writing things down. Now, I don't mean to tell somebody. This is just for you. You're not going to be sending this to anybody. So it doesn't have to be all formal. It doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't even have to be legible. But get it out of your mind and onto paper so you don't lose it, because it could be something God wants to speak to you about. So you're giving it the respect. You can always cross it off if it's not from him, if it doesn't make sense. But this way, it's not something your soul is dealing with as you're trying to hear from God. And really, one lesson we do need to learn is how to keep our mouths shut. There's so much that God would love to share with us. But because we can't keep from telling others, we would mess up what he plans to do, and sometimes mess up what he has for us to do. So being the loving father that he is, he just doesn't tell us what's going on. So one indication that you are hearing from him and growing independence is that he will start to share with you what's going on. He may start showing you what's going on in other people's lives, in your community, in the world. That doesn't make it your business. Pay attention to your own business, and God will share with you what's on his heart. So why? Why does he do that if he doesn't want us to pay attention to it? Just because he's excited about what he's doing, and he wants to share how much he loves other people, and how much he loves us, and how much he loves this world, and how excited he is. It's like planning a trip. When your friend shares with you what a wonderful trip they're going on and how they're going to go and see this and see their friends and do the stop here and all the different activities they're going to do. They're just sharing. It's not to make you jealous. It's not because you are then have to, they're going to ask you for money to help pay for it or anything. It's just sharing. This is what friends do. God just wants to be able to share with you. And you share with him. We have a ways in learning how to be with him. We have this idea about what he's like and what we're like. And over time, that notion changes. For instance, well, I haven't seen it very often recently, but there used to be that bumper sticker, "I'm just a sinner saved by grace." No, you aren't. You were for a millisecond. But being a sinner that was saved by grace made you a saint. Sinner saved by grace is an equation. It's an action. It's a process. That process results in sainthood. But in most cases, you start walking around calling yourself a saint, putting that on your business card, you're going to run up against some opposition. But you are. You are holy already. You are, in your spirit, you have the same characteristics that God does. It runs in the family. Holiness runs in the family. Omnipotence, omniscience, purity, righteousness, that runs in our genes. In your spirit, you inherited those qualities and characteristics. And yet, even thinking about that, we are so far from being able to believe it, let alone speak of ourselves or speak of other Christians in those terms. So we have a ways to go in even those little things. That doesn't mean that God can't get us where we need to go exactly when we need to be there. He will. He does. He can. But even the simplicity of our communication with God, spend all the time there, and that's fine. Another challenge we have is we think that, okay, if we go all in, if we devote ourselves to God and we say, okay, God, I'm willing to go wherever you want to do, wherever you want me to go, wherever you want to send me, I'm willing to be and commit to whatever you want me to do. We think it's going to change our life so dramatically that the sacrifice that will be so great. And yet very often, our expectations of upheaval, we almost have a letdown. And we wonder if God heard us. Well, he absolutely did. And he took you up on it. Because you got to remember, your spirit already did that. Your spirit has already gone all in, fully committed. And God has fully accepted that commitment. Now your soul is going to follow along, follow your spirit. It just takes a little bit of time to get those wounds healed, to get those lies overcome. But you're on the right track. Let him place you in the circumstances that you need to be in to bring you into that full dependence on God. So it's not about changing your life. It's about changing the source of your life. He may never alter your plans for the rest of your life and still achieve in you everything he wanted to. And in a sense, that's what we're looking for. That he doesn't have to cause an upheaval in our life in order to get our attention, in order to bring us to the end of ourselves. If we can do that, if we can cooperate with him, he doesn't need to do that. If when he knocks on our door, we open and he comes in and we spend time with him and we learn of him and we're trained of him, then he doesn't need to shake the foundations of our household to get our attention. This is sort of where we left off last week when we were talking about being critical and using the gifts. That people very often use the gifts to correct others. And we want to be able to recognize that when others try to use the gifts to correct us or to correct others. This is just something we want to recognize. But the responsibility lies with each individual believer to be able to self-discern prior to moving in the gifts, to be able to tell, where is this coming from? Am I open? Am I available to God? Or is there something, an opinion that I have? Do I have an agenda? And dealing with that so we can move cleanly in the gifts as well as learning how to objectively evaluate others as they move in the spirit, in the supernatural gifts. The more we learn dependence at home, in private, by ourselves, and make those mistakes privately, the less likely the mistakes that we make in public will cause undue disruption. Now, one thing to remember is for those who you have family, that you're not living alone, or even have roommates, you have a perfect opportunity to test your ministry capabilities. These people are in your life for your training. Whether they're older or younger or listening to you, whether they're Christians or not, it doesn't matter. You have the people in your life for training. That doesn't mean you need to start rebuking them or sharing your dreams with them. It may mean that. But you need to accept that the people in your life, your circumstances, the people you work with, aren't there just accidentally. As we look at the different approaches to the gifts, these supernatural gifts, and you start seeing the pattern that God has put in your life, spend some time and just ask him to remind you. Get your photo album out. Look back at significant times of intimacy with friends and relatives when you felt you made a connection or even an impact, when you were able to encourage or help someone. Things that were important to you, or even things, look back at where you wish you'd said something different or had done something different, or maybe you were too harsh. The things that come to our mind, good or bad, are often going to be fruit on that branch that God is trying to draw your attention to. He will remind you, he will bring to your memory those areas that he has moved in you in the past. And those often, again, show the pathway, shine the light in the direction that he wants to take you. Now, it's not predetermined. Just because he's showing you an area where you have made an impact in others' lives or even your own, that doesn't mean that's the way you're going to continue. But it's a good place to start. It's always, Lord, is that you? What are you trying to say here? Am I hearing you clearly? Is there interference? Lord, what is the interference? Can I take authority over the interference? What's next? Lord, do you love me? And as we get our questions answered, as we pick up our foot and lean forward, he places your foot exactly where he wants you to come down. They don't have to be big steps. It's just accepting the training, getting up in the morning, saying, Lord, what do we have in store? When you go to bed at night, Lord, don't let me miss you. This is for real. This is eternal life, knowing God, experiencing Him, having confidence that you have a real relationship with Him. So we'll pick it up here next week. Until then, you can drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org. Until next week, have a great week. Thanks for tuning in. Goodbye.